Thanks for joining us for this week's message. At First Baptist, we exist to love God, love people, and make disciples. We hope you find yourselves blessed, challenged, and encouraged by this week's message. And for more information, you can follow us on social media or visit us at fbcrockhill.org.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Good to see you this evening. How many of you know what that word Noel means that we were singing? Originally, it comes from a Latin word meaning to be born, and over time came to be synonymous with either Christmas carols or a celebration of the birth of Jesus, which is, you know, what we celebrate at Christmas. And this month in our church, in this sermon series, He Became, we've been looking at some of the unique, important things that happened when Jesus was born. Not just what happened, but what happened to Him. That's why it's titled He Became, and we're going to look at another one tonight. And to help you understand that, I want to begin with this. How many of you are familiar with the name Warren Buffett? Wave at me. Warren Buffett. You know who he is? One of the richest men in the world. And several years ago, he made headlines because he committed to donating about 85% of certain stocks he owned to charity. Most of them donated to a foundation established by Bill and Melinda Gates. And in the years since, well, at that time, let me state this, at that time, his promised donation would have been worth about $44 billion. To date, in annual installments, he's given away about $50 billion, making him the person who's given away more money than any other person in human history. So very, very generous and commendable. But I have to tell you, when he did that, he did not become poor. He's still one of the richest men in the world. In fact, the best estimates are that today he's still the 10th richest man in the world, worth about $142 billion. That's with a B. Now, I got to tell you, I think I could live on that. You think about all the rich people in the world. Elon Musk, the richest, $451 billion. Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, $244 billion. Mark Zuckerberg, a lot of you are making him rich. He's the owner of Facebook, $212 billion. And people like these can be very, very generous and do a lot of really good things with their generosity. And yet, even though they can be extremely generous, they're still rich. They don't become poor. It's not a sacrifice. They don't feel any pain. There's no discomfort. They're still rich beyond our wildest imaginations. But what about Jesus? Is he rich? Is he poor? Does he know what it's like to feel pain, to sacrifice? I want you to hear one verse from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. This is a letter the Apostle Paul wrote to Christians in the city of Corinth in modern Greece. And here's what he said about Jesus in chapter 8, verse 9. Listen to this. He said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace, the mercy, the love, the kindness of Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. He became poor so that you, through his poverty, might become rich." I want you to see some things from this verse that's true about Jesus and true about you if you are a follower of Jesus. The first is that Jesus was rich. He had all the riches that are associated with the glories of heaven. I mean, think about the position of Jesus. There's another passage in the book of Colossians that the Apostle Paul also wrote that describes the wealth, the glory of Jesus. Colossians 1 verse 15, he says, "He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God. When you see Jesus, you see God, as we talked about Sunday, because he is divine. He is deity. He's God. He's the eternal one. Didn't start at Bethlehem. He has been forever. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. And that does not mean that Jesus was the first thing created, because he was not created. He is eternal. That's the reason verse 17 in that passage said he is before all things. When it says the firstborn of creation, it means that Jesus is preeminent over all of creation. He is the creator. And he is the sovereign Lord, the sovereign God, the sovereign King of the entire universe, of all creation. He has the wealth of his position as God, as creator of the universe. He also has the wealth, the glory that is associated with his power. Verse 16 in Colossians 1 says, "For by him," by Jesus, "all things were created." John tells us in chapter 1 of his gospel that there is nothing that exists he did not create. "For by him all things were created, both in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." His position, his power, he's the creator. And think about his possessions. As the creator, he owns it all. Not only does he tell us there that everything was created through him, but for him. Everything in this world, everything in this universe is his. And that makes him wealthy. Richer than Warren Buffett. Richer than Elon Musk. Richer than Mark Zuckerberg. And yet what Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, is that even though Jesus was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. He became poor. Jesus was not born into a life of luxury. His first crib was a manger. The preschool years of his life were spent as a refugee in Egypt. He grew up in a small hillside village called Nazareth, whose population was maybe 200 to 500 people at best. His dad was a carpenter, manual labor. And Jesus learned that trade and did it as a teenager and young man. During his public ministry of preaching and teaching leading up to the crucifixion, Jesus was dependent on the generosity of others. He was never destitute and hungry all the time, but he did not have much. On one occasion, Jesus was talking to someone who wanted to be his followers, and he said to that man, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man," which is how Jesus often referred to himself, "the Son of Man doesn't have any place to lay his head." He didn't own a house. He didn't own a bed. He didn't have much. And yet none of these things really describe his poverty. The great poverty of Jesus was not the absence of possessions. It was something he attained. His poverty is seen in that this Jesus, the divine, eternal God, creator of the universe, at Bethlehem stepped to this earth through the womb of a virgin and added to his being, his personhood, humanity. He was made flesh, taking upon himself a body like yours that can grow old, get sick, hurt and feel pain, feel rejection, a body that can die. That was Jesus' greatest poverty, adding this human flesh to his nature and existing today as fully God and fully man. But an even greater depth of poverty took place when Jesus was born on that cross. See, you have to understand that Bethlehem, where Jesus was born, is a place of love. It's a place of selflessness. It's a place of sacrifice. That manger was Jesus' first step toward the cross. And on the cross, in the flesh, is where he experienced his greatest poverty as Jesus Christ, who had never sinned, hanging on that cross, became your sin. Became sin for you. And as the book of Corinthians tells us, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Every sin you've ever committed, every wrong you've ever done, everything you've ever done in your life that made you feel guilty or that made you feel bad because you knew it wasn't right, all of it was laid on him on that cross. And the eternal, glorious, divine creator of the universe hanging on that cross became poor because he became dirty. He became your sin. And that was his greatest poverty. But he did that for you. The verse we read, even though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. That you, through his poverty, might become rich. I want you to think about the riches that are available to you in Christ. That if you have authentically and genuinely, honestly given your life to Jesus, if you've asked him to save you and forgive you and you've repented of your sin and you love him and you're living for him, he's your Lord, he's your Savior, you are his follower, you are his disciple. If that is true of you, let me remind you of how rich you are because of Jesus' poverty. And if you've not yet given your life to Jesus, you're still poor. But let me show you how rich you can be when you place your faith in Christ. There is the wealth of how who we are, our status, our standing changes because of Jesus. Think about this. In front of the entire universe, because you know Christ, you can rightly say, I'm his child. He's my father. We're family. We're kin. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is my father. I'm his son. I'm his daughter. And folks, that is a rich existence. I want you to think about the wealth that is yours in Christ, that is eternal, never ends, never vanishes. Because you know Jesus, you will forever and ever and ever enjoy all the blessings, all the benefits of his heavenly house that will be your heavenly home. The Bible tells us our eyes not seen, our ear has not heard, and our hearts have never imagined the things God has prepared for those who love him. Enjoying the benefits of heaven forever makes you rich. And I want you to think about Jesus' power that is now available to you because you know him. The power of Almighty God that entered your life when you said yes to Jesus and birthed you from above, a second birth, birthed you into the family of God. That's a supernatural act. The power of Almighty God that resides within you in the person of the Holy Spirit, enabling you to live a transformed life so that your past doesn't have to be your future. Your struggles of today don't have to be your struggles of tomorrow, because the power of God can change your life. The wealth of the power of God that resides in us through Christ, that one day will cause our dead body to come from the ground and be transformed into a glorified body that will never again be sick, never hurt, never grow old, never feel alone, and never die. In fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that Jesus will wipe away every tear from your eye. And there will be no more pain. No more sorrow. No more death. And that makes us rich, doesn't it? But for us to be rich, he had to become poor. For us to be forgiven, he had to become sin. For us to be saved, he had to die. So look at that verse one last time. Even though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. So that you and you and you and you, through his poverty, might become rich. William Shatner. Any Star Trek fans in the room? Any Trekkies? You may not know this, but a little over 3 years ago, at age 90, William Shatner, you know, Captain Kirk, at age 90 became the oldest person to ever go into space. He traveled on the space shuttle named the Blue Origin, owned by Jeff Bezos of, you know, Amazon wealth. A lot of us in the last month made him richer. And Captain Kirk or William Shatner, famous for, you know, in the movies and the television shows, space travel. And he said that he always had a fascination with space. And he imagined that when he got up there and he looked out the window into space, he would be overwhelmed with a sense of awe at the majesty of what he was seeing. So they get into space on that shuttle, and when they reach the point that he could, you know, unstrap the harness and get out of the seat as quickly as he could while, you know, others were kind of tumbling around in the zero gravity, he went straight to the window to look out into space. He said, instead of feeling awe and wonder, and this is a direct quote, here's what he said: there was no mystery, no majestic awe to behold. All I saw was death. I saw a cold, dark, black emptiness, unlike any blackness you can see or feel on earth. It was deep, enveloping, all-encompassing. And then he looked in the other direction through that window toward earth, toward home. And he could see the curvature of the planet, the beige of the desert, white clouds, blue skies. He saw life. And in that moment, William Shatner said he learned that beauty is not out there somewhere in space, but down here with us. If seeing Earth from space can affect one man so dramatically, can you imagine how Jesus felt and how he feels when he looks our direction? Because he doesn't see just blue skies and white clouds. He does not see just continents and oceans. He sees you. He sees you. He sees each of us. He left the glory of heaven and the riches of his home, became poor, born in a manger, dying on a cross for you. Because when he looked, he saw you. Your need. Your sin, your hopelessness, your worth, your value. He saw you. Will you leave behind your sin and come to him for forgiveness? Will you leave behind your doubts and questions and come to him in faith and trust? Will you leave behind your pride and come to him in humble repentance? Will you leave behind your arrogance and come to him in submission and surrender? Will you leave behind your lostness and come to Him for salvation? Will you? Will you? Will you do it? Will you do it right now? Will you do it tonight? We're going to give you an opportunity. Stand with us as we begin singing this carol. Pastors quickly are making their way to the altar so you can know where to come. Come to one of these pastors and say, tonight I'm coming to Jesus to begin my relationship with Him. Coming to Jesus for forgiveness and salvation. Coming to Him because He came for me. And I'm so glad He did. Come to Brother Steve. Come to Brother Cole and say, I want to know Jesus. And they'll help you pray and commit your life to Him. If you would like to unite with this family of faith, come to one of them and you can join our church tonight. The altar is here, a kneeling bench. You can kneel on this Christmas Eve and talk with Christ about your life. There are some of you, you came to Jesus. You've been saved. But you have been taking it for granted. You have not been living in gratitude. And you need to come and just draw closer to your Savior and to your Lord. Come and kneel on this Christmas Eve and make sure things are right between you and your God. Let's sing together. Wherever you are in this room, this is your moment to come. Step out from where you are quickly. Come to a pastor. Come to the altar right now.